everyone, and welcome to episode 113 of Constructive Criticism. I'm your host, just like every week, Spencer Howland, and I am joined this week by my co-host, the man that once wrestled a baby pig, Manny Moretz.
Turned him into bacon. How's it going, guys?
You wrestled a baby pig?
Yeah.
Why would you do that?
I wanted bacon. I was hungry.
But you realize that you could, like, you know, have a challenge and, like, wrestle an adult pig. You don't have to turn a baby pig into bacon.
Well, I mean, an adult pig is a boar. Boars are dangerous, and I'm not an idiot.
I mean, I raised pigs, dude. They're not that dangerous.
Sure.
You just kill the infant pig.
I mean, okay.
There are vegetarians.
It's getting a little too real now.
There are vegetarians that listen to this podcast, Manny.
Well, I'm sorry.
Getting too real for you.
Getting a little too real. You're putting a face on a little helpless baby animal. And putting it in my conscience, and it never happened.
Think of it, dude. Think of it. We're like Casey. He made his reputation as the grilled cheese aficionado. Man, you gotta.
Oh right.
You gotta start somewhere with these intros.
Sure.
I mean, Quentin pantsed people like on the rope in gym class. So yeah,
I got nothing that comes close to that. That's like schoolyard bully, like, sweetness. That's hilarious.
I mean, we'll talk about your tetherball incidents next week.
Oh man, I don't, you know so much more about my childhood than I do, sure.
Let's get into this. So, welcome back everybody. Manny, did you know that it's been 100 episodes? 100 episodes since John Finkel appeared on Constructive Criticism.
That's a lot of episodes.
Can you believe that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that was the very first episode I listened to this podcast. I was like, John Finkel, no freaking way, I have to listen to this.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool. I've been listening pretty regularly ever since.
John Finkel was on this podcast 100 episodes ago, man. That's crazy. That is something else. Well, let's talk about our sponsor really quick. So you can... the only reason that John Finkel or Manny or myself get to do this podcast is because of Oasis Games. You can check them out at OasisGamesSLC.com and get 15% off of your first order by using the code CCMTG at checkout. That's 15% of like a legacy deck or even like an EDH deck.
Even a modern deck, that's a huge amount of money.
EDH, man. you get 5% off of every order by using the code Would That Be Good. But don't listen to us about how awesome Oasis Games is. Listen to the people who shop there that are fellow listeners of the podcast like you. Ryan Kendall says, I bought 3 Jaces when they were at $25 each. I was stoked to use the promo code from the cast to save a few bucks. But unfortunately, I could not seem to find where to enter the promo code. So I called the shop directly, and they were super chill dudes. Gave me my promo discount and shipped them off the next day. I am most certainly a return customer.
Yeah, there was another testimony on our Facebook.
We gotta save them, bro.
Oh, okay. We gotta space them out for you. Can't just dump them on you guys.
Can't
all at once.
Just ruin all of these that I have saved up now.
Oh, okay. I've got a story for you guys then next week.
Okay. Then I got a story for you. This came from the Facebook post.
Yeah.
So obviously, I'm using
the
Facebook post as advertising.
I don't know if you're which ones you like, which ones you don't like.
All of them, man. They're all awesome stories.
They are.
All right. So yeah, listen to Ryan. If you don't have to listen to us, listen to Ryan. You know, that's just kind of the thing that they'll do is like, oh man, I placed this order, but I couldn't figure out this thing. And they're like, oh, don't worry about it. We'll just do it for you. And that's just awesome customer service. That's in my time working in the customer service industry. You know, I think that Oasis does a great job of really accommodating people. And that's really what's important. The customer isn't always right, like people say, but doing what you can for the customer is still always important.
Yeah, I mean, way before I started, you know, with the podcast, or even long before I started working there, that was the only place I shopped. Everyone there was super knowledgeable, super friendly. Their selection is incredible. If they don't have a card that you're looking for, if you check within a few days' time, they probably will have it. They're awesome dudes.
You know, I had a great experience at Oasis Games this week.
Let's hear it.
I was just sitting up at the front whining about how cards weren't in stock. Being a whiny little baby.
I remember I was working the front, and I was like, Spencer, shut up. Get out of here.
I was like, man, this is so stupid. I can't believe you guys don't have these. Like, because I'm used to it. I'm used to having all the cards. And, you know, the guy in the back walks up. He hands me the 3 cards I'm talking about. I'm like, oh, that's great.
Yeah. Out of nowhere, like a magician. Yeah, poof, were these the cards you're looking for?
Friggin' magical. you can also be a direct supporter of this podcast by going to the Patreon page at patreon.com/CCMTG. That is the best way to support this podcast. Manny and I feel like the amount of work that Spencer puts in is worth something. And then Manny does something.
Yeah, Spencer. I mean, every week my show notes are ready to go. I'm pretty much just a color man. I'm here to say funny things, entertain you guys, you know. Same old, but Spencer does so much work. Hours and hours go into the show on his end.
Yeah, it was actually really funny. Today, Manny was like, hey, play magic with me. I was like, I can't do it. I'm busy. He's like, no, you're not. It's like, yeah, I'm literally writing the show and, like, doing a bunch of things. Like, this is, like, 2 pages of notes.
Yeah, it's quite a bit.
And then he's, and plus I had to do, like.
You had to redo the power
rankings. We had to redo rankings and stuff like that. And Manny's like, well, how long will it take you? I'm like, I don't know, man, a few hours. He's like, what? So. But yeah, look at this. Look, I even got the I even saved it so I have.
Beautiful.
Look, the event type. Yeah. So the event that it was attributed to and all that.
So much data at our fingertips.
Yeah, so. Just, you know, the amount of work that I put on, I do for, like, I mean, I don't want to do it for free. I'm happy to do it for free because I want the world to improve at Magic, and I think that the data that I'm putting together and the things that I'm doing is worth something. But in the end, you know, if you're a college student, you can't afford it, you don't have to. This podcast is always going to be free. We just appreciate what we can get. So anything that you can do starting at $1 a month would be awesome.
Every little bit helps.
Yeah, Obi's got to eat, man. You got to feed that little precious Obi.
That dog
is... That's actually the only way he gets food, is basically the Patreon page.
Your dog is so small, he only eats like 5 cents in food a day.
Dude, it's insane. Like, it's actually crazy how little food he eats.
Yeah, I mean, he weighs like 8 ounces.
Like, Devonair will buy him a kid's meal when she goes to McDonald's. And, like, I'm like, he's not going to eat all of
no
that.
No way, he's like 1/30th the size of a child.
He also, like, weighs as much as a kid's meal. So. Alright, well, enough of my dog. You know, as a Patreon supporter, there is a spot for you as a you know, patron of the show to ask a question. If you have any questions, go to the Patreon page, go to our posts, and there's a post where you can post any question you want, any length. You can even include, if you want Quentin, Matt, or Casey, or myself to answer it, I will get them behind a recording device, and we will talk about it together for you guys. So you can ask any of the previous hosts. Speaking of previous hosts, let's get into our weekly announcement segment. So, just some quick things to talk about. First thing is Facebook group. So, the Facebook group has been doing pretty well. I started doing daily posts, like, with certain topics. Like, today was Take It First Tuesday. So, pack one, pick one. Post some pictures of booster packs. Ask the listeners what they would take. You know, things like that. There's a daily topic. I think the only day that doesn't have one is Saturday because people are playing PPTQs. Then, you know, but I want to make the group awesome. So what I've been doing is giving sneak peeks to the episodes. Like, before we record, I release something about the show notes or something said funny on the podcast or something that was said behind the scenes, things like that. And so one of the things that I'm inviting the listeners to do that are members of the Facebook group is... they'll be making training runs with us. I don't know how many. I said 1 per 8 episodes, but that might be too many. I'm not sure how I want to do it. That's like 1 every 2 months. It could be 1 every 4 months. I'm not sure. But basically, we want people to join the Facebook group, and there will be a thread that I'll post like, hey guys, like, give us your training grounds ideas and we'll see what we can incorporate. And that's just part of the awesomeness that will be a part of being that group. You can help make the show.
Yeah. I mean, we want people to get involved, but beyond that, we like people getting involved. We love talking to you. We love hearing your ideas. We like exchanging with you. It's the greatest.
Yeah, I think the episode that Bodhi did as you know, his patron benefit.
Yeah, that was really great.
People loved that episode. It's like one of people's favorite episodes. And that shows me that the listeners of the show have the same kind of passion that I have for the show. They want the show to succeed. And I feel like with speaking with them, I can put my trust in their hands. And they can help improve the show too. So another announcement is... man, there's a new co-hosting announcement every week.
At least.
So Matt is not done with the show. Manny, do you remember what Matt's going to be doing on the show?
Was it in my show notes?
It wasn't in your show notes.
then no.
So Matt is going to be a reoccurring guest host on the show. He wants to be a part of the show still. It's something that Matt enjoys doing. But he wants to feel passionate about topics. And... so Matt will be doing all of the Great Decks of History episodes with us. Manny, do you remember that now?
Yes. Yeah. Now it's ringing a bell. It was sometime in between you yelling at me to get your cards.
Yeah. There we go. But yeah, so Matt will be our reoccurring guest host on the show, and hopefully we can find rules for, you know, Quentin and Casey if they're interested. I talked to Casey about it a little bit. He said he wanted to think about it, and I haven't talked to Quentin about it, but I think that Quentin would have a great role to play on the show. I mean, yeah, one time he was the honorary fourth member, where he was just doing shows when anybody was missing and things like that. Quentin's a great friend of mine, and I would love to for him to come back too, but I just wanted to let everybody know that Matt's not gone forever. Everybody has actually asked for Matt to have a reoccurring role in this podcast and to bring him back for a few episodes.
I mean, I'm pretty sure I asked for that as well.
Yeah, so, and I know people love Matt and they want him to be on the show, so he has agreed to do every Great Decks of History episode with us, which the next one is actually Splinter Twin. So we get to talk to Matt about the only person to ever beat him with Primeval Titan deck playing Splinter Twin. When he was playing Splinter Twin.
Exciting stuff.
It'll be a great story about his record versus Primeval Titan decks. All right. The other thing is there will be some new Patreon rewards. This is a combined thing between something that Manny suggested and actually one of the suggestions that we got for Patreon for things that people want to see in the Patreon. And that's going to be we're going to bring back the Card of the Week segment soon. And what we'll do is we'll give out some number of that card of the week. So if it's a cheaper card, we'll give out four of them. We'll sign it by the cast. Whatever you guys want. Maybe get foils if they're cheap enough, you know. And we'll send the Patreon, one of the Patreons that week, that card of the week.
Right.
And, you know, we'll just do it at random. And it'll start probably at the $3 mark. Who knows? It could start at the $1 mark. It kind of just depends on how many Patreons we have at the time. And that's going to be an adjusting goal. It could start at $5. It depends. But if you haven't signed up for the Patreon, you can do that and be eligible to win the card of the week. You know, four foil Abjuring Charms would be pretty sweet, right?
Be super sweet.
Yeah, that's definitely going to be a card of the week once. Maybe a Jace Vern's Prodigy.
Possibly, definitely. Yeah. Almost definitely some, maybe some Fetchlands.
Yeah, Fetchlands for sure. The mana bases are pretty good right now. I have a feeling we'll see some Fetchlands in that card of the week. All right, so those are the announcements. This week's pretty exciting. We get to do our Mega Rankings episode. As everybody knows, this podcast changes a lot. We change the way we do things. We want to be the best podcast that we can be and do things the best way possible. And we incorporated Mega Rankings episodes to be once every 2 months about then. Around then, whenever we can do them. I think that our last Mega Rankings episode was... Man, I want to say it was just me and Quentin. This is easily found out, though. So it looks like the last Mega Rankings episode was 104, so it was 9 weeks ago. So it was just about 2 months ago. So we're still right on pace.
Perfect.
Doing those Mega Rankings episodes. So this week we're going to do Standard. We're going to change it, though. So for Standard and possibly Modern and Legacy, it kind of depends on how this one goes, I want to start doing top 10s. I would be... happy to do top 8 too.
I think 10 seems alright.
I think 10 gives you a good perspective into the actual metagame.
Right. I mean, even with the your decks coming in 10th, 9th, you're still gonna see these decks. You're still gonna play against them. You should still know what they're trying to do, what they're gonna play, and how you should play against them.
Right. Anyway, so let's talk about the ranking. So we're going to do this the same way that we're doing our regular rankings, and we're going to read the list top to bottom, or bottom to top first, and then we'll talk about the points. So Manny, we'll each give our quick thoughts on the list as it goes, and then we'll get into the deeper discussion of the topic.
Very good.
So we have a tie at number 10. Also, interestingly enough, so we have a 10-11 tie, right? And all of these decks are the only decks, all of 11 of these decks, because we have that tie, are all of the decks that had at least finishes in at least 3 of the 7 events. The rest of the decks in the entire power rankings did not. So out of 22 decks, all of these decks had at least 3 events with finishes. Not 3 finishes, but 3 events with finishes.
Gotcha.
So others might have 2 in 1 event or something like that, but they also didn't make this list. All of the decks on this list finished in 3 events. So they finished in the top 32.
A pretty good widespread of winning across what's been going on.
So we're going to start with Black White Warriors has 8 points, and it's tied with Teemer Black, which also has 8 points. Teemer Black, interestingly enough, would have just made the power rankings for this week if we were doing a normal power rankings. But Black White Warriors actually has the most spread out between the two of them. It has, but it also only it has one top 32 instead of a top 16.
That's true.
But it's also got a second place finish, so things like that.
Right.
Man, these decks are interesting, dude.
They are.
Khmer Black and Black White Warriors.
Well, I think it's really funny with the splash of black to Temur, because I mean, so like I was talking to you earlier, I've been trying to play blue white control in Modern. You know, it was pretty good, but it wasn't what I needed it to be. So I splashed black pretty lightly and very easily for Murderous Cut and Tassigar, and that's exactly what this deck did.
Yeah. I mean, some of them did that. Others did. Others went a little different. I think that one of them actually is playing. Oh, they both are they. There's three of them, but one of them. I think you're right. I think that might be the only splash.
Yeah. I mean, it's
Verlaine Plague out of the board.
Sure.
But we'll get into the specifics of the deck. But yeah, I think that Temur's introduction to black is very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's exactly what Temur has been needing. It has, you know, with access to Murderous Cut, that hard removal that it so sorely lacked before.
Sure. And I mean, with this happening, you know, what I'm seeing is like. You know, a new deck name. You know, I'm going to call my deck Pure Temur, or you know, something along those lines.
Sure, OG Temur.
No, not OG. Something along the lines of being pure Virgin Temur, or something like that.
Okay, so before all this new hubbub.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Before all this fangled dangled black stuff.
That's not Temur.
But number 9 with 13 points, we have Green Red Landfall. I actually think this is the worst deck on this list.
I agree. It doesn't seem super powerful.
And we're talking about Black White Warriors. I think this deck is actually worse than Black White Warriors.
I mean, I don't think Black White Warriors is a bad deck.
I don't think so either. I mean, we'll talk about.
Okay, yeah.
We'll talk about the
backstep in a second. Yeah, Green Red Landfall. I mean, it just doesn't seem to have a whole lot of power to it, right?
Yeah, I think that it's. I mean, it has to play so many lands that I think it's a huge detriment to the deck. But we'll get into specifics coming up. Coming at 8, and then, I think this will surprise a lot of people that this is this low, but the Megamorph decks with Bant and Green-White.
I mean, it's interesting to see how far the Megamorph decks have fallen. I mean, they're still playing the same cards, they still have the same strategies, but I mean, they're not, just everybody's ready for them.
Called it, man. This deck's
you
not...
Did. Yeah,
this
you
deck's
did.
Not real.
You did.
I think that we'll see Black White Warriors and Temur both go up. I think they will become more popular as time goes on.
I definitely think you're right, especially with the cards being so inexpensive.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I like, yeah, we'll number 7 is Esper Tokens with 16 points. This deck has been on the decline though. It only made this list because of, you know, a couple weeks of finishes.
Yeah, I mean, I was pretty clear about what I expected to happen, and it did. I mean, Esper Tokens in a vacuum is a very good deck, and it's a very powerful deck. But once you know it exists, I think it's very easy to play against and very easy to sideboard against.
I just don't understand how this deck would be possibly better than Jeskai Tokens.
I don't know. I don't know.
Number 6, we have the Rally deck with 32 points. So 4-color Rally obviously had that great finish at the one tournament, the GP that in Europe.
Right.
Number 5, we have Jeskai with 34 points. So just barely beating out Rally. Yeah, deck's just been good since the Bird War. Number 4, we have Green Ramp decks at large. So I just incorporated all the Green Ramp decks.
I mean, you get big, you cast Ulamog.
Yeah, there's just Eldrazi in the decks, and they all ramp into, you know, whatever ramp package they choose. I think the ramp packages are actually format dependent more than the threats are, because you want to either be able to beat an Ugin or a Wrath. Mm-hmm. You know, of some kind. So, you know, you might play things. If you're playing against Ugin, you might play more things like Hedron, you know, Hedron Archive and, you know, 3-mana ramp spells like Map the Wastes.
Sure, but I mean, aren't most variants of that deck playing like a 4 Ugin and 4?
Well, if you're playing against Ugin, right?
Oh, okay.
Because if you're playing against Ugin, you want to be able to beat the Ugin, so you don't want to play things like Leaf Gilder.
Right.
Because then you get blown out. So it just depends on the kind of Wraths that you're expecting to play against, things like that. Coming in at number 3, we have Atarka Aggro with 43 points. One of these decks is actually not Atarka Aggro. Actually, it was just Mono Red Aggro, but I was like, whatever.
Close enough.
Yeah. But yeah, this deck made a huge resurgence in its last three events on the recording.
What do you think the reason is? Why do you think it's getting so much steam again?
Well, obviously, we will talk about that later, Manny. Okay. It's in the show notes.
Okay, sure. Sure, sure. I just find it so interesting.
It is. I mean, you want to talk about it right now. That's how interesting it is. It's a huge... In its last 3 weeks, it had 10, 10, and 11 points.
Yeah, that's amazing.
It's pretty good. Coming at number two, we have Esper. So I still am combining Esper Control and Esper Dragons. I'm just including blue counterspell decks that, like, are legitimately Esper Control decks. I understand. I think that the Esper Dragons deck has become much more controlling than last year's. It's not as mid-range as the one before. Mm-hmm. So for that reason, I include it with this. But these, they are two different flavors, but I think that they're doing similar things.
Well, and the majority of the decks making these points are Esper Dragons, are they not?
It is the majority of, well, there was the 1 week that it was almost all control with two in the top eight.
Uh-huh.
With Patrick Chapin top eighting. But the rest of them are almost all Dragons decks. It kind of just depends if you like you want to go the Reed Duke route with like Ugin's, or if you want to go the Dragon route with Ojitai's. So, but coming in at number one with 109 points.
Crushing.
109 points. The deck that people to this day on coverage and in chat say is dead. Abzan.
I mean, that's ludicrous. Like, every single week that we look over these rankings, Abzan is mauling the other decks in points.
109 points, Manny.
Yeah.
That is more than twice as much as second place.
Right.
That is more than the next two decks combined.
Uh-huh.
Like...
Yeah, I mean the deck is a monster. The card's incredible.
I mean, it's actually more... than the bottom half combined. It's like, it's more, I believe it's more than 6 through 11th. Yeah. Like, it's an insane number of points. So, let's get into this. So, there were actually 22 decks that placed. So, we actually just have the top half of the meta here.
Right.
So, this is the top half of decks on Standard, according to the last month. So, right. This is starting on November 1st. So, it's...
The decks you should care about.
Right. So, in the last month, this is the rankings. So let's start at the bottom. So what do we think of the bottom five decks? What do we think of Esper Tokens, Green-White Megamorph, Green-Red Landfall, Teemer, and Black-White? It sounds like both of us actually think Teemer and Black-White are up-and-coming decks, and the other three probably just are falling off the map here.
Yeah, I would absolutely agree with that. So Esper Tokens, Megamorph, Green-Red Landfall, these are decks that are okay, I think, but they're not doing anything super powerful. They're easy to play against. They're not bringing anything new to the table. I think unlike Teemer Black and Black-White Warriors. So these are new up-and-coming decks that are finally, you know, placing well. They're finally finishing. People are starting to notice.
These are also decks that people going into formats thought were going to be the best decks.
Yeah.
Like, if you think about it, when we were doing set reviews, we were talking about cards, we were like, There's just too many good Black-White Warrior cards. Like,
oh, so many.
This has to be a deck.
Right.
Savage Knuckleblade, Crater's Claws,
Insane.
Rattleclaw Mystic.
Yeah, I mean, when the card was spoiled, Savage Knuckleblade, you look at this and you say, I cast it, and then how do I lose this game?
There were other podcasts that were like, all I want in the world is Savage Knuckleblade.
Yeah.
You know, there's just, it's crazy. I think Patrick Chapin's podcast this week, or it was either this week or last week, they talked about Rattleclaw Mystic into Savage Knuckleblade.
Uh-huh.
And the thing is that, like, I did not beat, I actually lost to Mike Flores at the RPTQ with Teemer. So he had a full-on Savage Knuckleblade experience, and after the match he's like, man, your deck has, like, so many insane threats. I didn't realize there were so many great threats. A Teemer deck could be so threat dense. And that's kind of like how I think of these Teemer decks. And they're splashing black for Tassiger, Murderous Cut. And, I mean, it just lets you kill things like your the hard creatures for you, like Mantis Rider.
Right. Mantis Rider, Siege Rhino, all the big problems.
Siege Rhino is not as hard for you as people think. Luckily for you, you have things like savage knuckle blade, and you can fly over the top of them with dragons or phoenixes, whatever your main plan against that deck is, to hold the ground with something like, you know, knuckle blades, and then fly over. Like Josh McLean has Dragon Speaker and Thunderbreak Regen. Even Woodland Wanderer to be bigger than the Siege Rhino.
I really like the Woodland Wanderer in the deck. I think I've been seeing it around, and I definitely think casting it with four colors makes it a very powerful card.
Yeah. So. Yeah. What? So I think we're on the same page with that. I think Greenlit Red Landfall and Megamorph will still be around. I think people will still play those decks.
I agree. I mean, they're still, if you own the cards, they're good cards. The strategies are definitely viable.
Megamorph especially, right? Like, that's just...
Yeah. You're going to be able to Den Protector, Death Mist for a long time still.
Yeah, so... Esper tokens, I don't know. I think that there will be some form of a tokens deck. You know, we had one of our listeners, Top 8 States with an Abzan version that you played.
Yeah.
We had Jeskai tokens deck in the Top 8 of the Pro Tour.
Uh-huh.
Like, there's clearly a way to make Secure... I mean, Secure the Waste, for example. Like,
that's such a good card.
It's just a good magic card. Yeah. Gideon with it, like, that's a great addition. Yeah. I think that, like, if we go back, let's go back in time. We're going to go to dailymtg.com. We're going to pull up. We're going to go into the... where are we going here? Coverage. Here we go. We're going to go back in time to the Pro Tour. And then what we're going to do... Well, that's weird. Why does it do that?
Where is the last Pro Tour?
Okay. So one time we wanted to go to look at the deck lists... from Pro Tour Battle for Zendikar. And it was not on Wizards' website.
Anyway, going back to that deck, anyone who can testify to end a turn, secure the waste, pass the turn back, Gideon Emblem, knows how devastating that can be.
Yeah, absolutely. I wanted to talk about with the... I mean, if I was going to play a Jeskai deck, I don't see myself casting Mantis Rider... So yeah, so going to Pro Tour Battle for Zendikar, like we look back on like token strategies, like this deck, in my opinion, was a thing of beauty, and I'm just gonna read it off for those who don't remember it. So we have 4 Jace Vern's Prodigy as the only creature in the deck. We have 1 Fiery Impulse, 3 Wild Slash, 1 Secure the Waste, 4 Dragon Fodder, 4 Silkwrap, 4 Hordling Outburst, 4 Jeskai Ascendancy, 2 Jeskai Charm, 4 Gideon, 4 Treasure Cruise, 25 lands. Like, this deck was great, in my opinion. You had everything you needed with, like, Silkwrap to kill their Hangarback Walkers or their Jaces so that you could, you know, protect, quote-unquote, your Jeskai Ascendancies from things like Dromoka's Command.
Mm-hmm.
And this, I mean, for me, like, I would almost play this exact deck list with one less Hoarding That Burst, one more Secure the Waste.
Yeah, it looks very good. It looks... like, it could bring a lot to the table.
Yeah, and 4 Treasure Cruise, man. Like, who doesn't want to do that?
I might cut down a Treasure Cruise. I love the card, but I've had 2 in hand, and it never feels good.
Bro. Jeskai Ascendancy, bro.
Bro.
You can just discard the other one to Jeskai Ascendancy. It's like a free draw card.
Sure.
Come on. Yeah, I don't know that Esper tokens is going to be the thing. I mean, we've seen Bant tokens from Sam Black, like... all kinds of decks.
Right, and I mean, the ban tokens, a lot of people thought that was a superior list, but nobody's playing that now.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's true. That's true. What do you think that is?
I think...
Den Protector not good enough?
That's never the case, I think. I just think ban tokens... I mean, watching it, the deck had a lot of play to it. You had a lot of lines, but I think a lot of things still had to go correctly for you in a very specific way to win.
Yeah, I personally don't know. I don't know. I think that Secure the Waste, Gideon, I mean, even the Jeskai Shell, there's some shell where, like, you can play a tokens deck in this format.
Oh, absolutely. I think you just have to give it a little bit of time, a little bit of love, and maybe make your deck a little more tuned to your meta. Yeah. But I think there absolutely is.
Personally, room for tokens. I would like love to play like a Jeskai tokens deck with like a 2/2 split, and then like splash black for something like Sorin, so I get my tokens lifelink.
That would be hot. That would be sweet.
So I don't know. There's a lot of things that you can be doing with tokens decks, but yeah, I think that Green Red Landfall and Megamorph will stick around in some variety, and like Temur Black specifically. All the lists look really sloppy and untuned to me, so I'm interested to see if somebody can gain some traction with those and like make a good deck.
That's my prediction. I definitely think that those lists are going to be fine-tuned now that people know that they're feasible, that they can win, that they're good. And I think people are going to take them, and they're going to run with them a little bit, and we're going to keep seeing them in the power rankings.
Evan, who took 12th at the Super IQ this week, I think this is the most interesting Black-White Warriors list I've ever seen.
It's definitely not the way I would go about it, which is, I think, like, just
the next thing.
Yeah, like, it's next thing. Like, I'm looking at it, it's, like, next level. Like, so I wouldn't think of making it that great.
Three Silkwrap, three Stasis Snare, one Murderous Cut, one Valor Stance, one Sorin, two Gideon, two Wasteland Strangler. Ding, 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 ding. Spencer was right about a card again.
Yeah, so Spencer...
saw top 32 play in a deck list at an SCG. Called it.
So, Spencer, explain to me and the listeners why this synergy is so amazing.
Okay, so first of all, Wasteland Strangler is just a great Magic card. So it's 2 and a black for a 3-2 Devoid. Wasteland Strangler enters the battlefield. You may put a card an opponent owns from exile into their graveyard. If you do, target creature gets -3/-3 until end of turn. So I'm going to silk wrap your stupid Jace.
Right.
I'm going to then next turn play this to kill your Mantis Rider and put your Jace into your graveyard.
Sounds sweet.
Now I got a 2-for-1, and you can get your Jace back with your Erase or whatever it is right. That you could have. I don't actually think Erase is in the format, but you get my point.
Right.
I love it. So we have 2 Wasteland Stranglers, 4 Mardu Woe Reapers, which also combos
which is
with Wasteland Strangler.
It's just like you're getting free single Bile Blight.
That's so great.
It's wild.
That is the best interaction I've seen in weeks.
Yeah, I mean, it's so good. I mean, second main phase after a combat, you finish off like a pesky creature that you were trying to get past. Like, it's incredible. You're like,
do you remember that one time when you had that that guy in your graveyard? And you wanted to get it back with your rally? Nope. Also, play this, kill your Jace.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty great.
I mean, just that by itself is so good. It's probably what this deck was missing.
We have 1 Mardu Strike Leader, 2 Dragon Hunter, 4 Chief of the Edge, 4 Bloodsoaked Champion. That card has got to see some play, man. That card's too good not to see play.
It's way good.
4 Bloodchain Rager, 4 of Manny's favorite card, Ration Foremost.
My favorite card is actually the Bloodchain Rager. Playing a little bit of Black-White Warriors a few months ago, you know, I tested it to see if it was good. It wasn't as good as the other standard decks at the time. Also, I wasn't building it correctly. Bloodchain Rager is just one of those cards that you love to see turn 2. I mean, it puts a clock down. I mean, they can't play as many creatures as you can. They can't block effectively. It's beautiful.
This deck is sweet, dude.
Yeah, I especially love the 2 of Shambling Vents. Really good to play on past sweepers and close out the game late. No. If you have to.
This deck plays Negate out of the board.
What?
Oh, yeah. It plays 1 Sunken Hollow, 1 Prairie Stream, and it plays 8 Fetchlands that grab blue land. So it has 10 sources for Negates out of the board. This deck is sweet.
That is sweet. That's really great.
So I love decks like this. I love seeing people who think out of the box and they synergize. I've always said that the Magic community is missing somebody like Smitty. He used to do the A-Team podcast. And this is things that he would do, is he would just like think of Magic as a puzzle, and he would solve a puzzle all the time. And when he got done with the puzzle, he'd just throw it away and pick up a new puzzle. And it was great. He had a new deck that he was tuning, and he would spend weeks and weeks and weeks just like, I know this idea can be good,
right,
and I'm going to spend the time to make it happen.
Just like a Rubik's Cube, yeah, just working at it, just going and going.
It was so great to see, and I feel like that's what this deck is. It's like somebody solved it.
Yeah.
So I don't know if this is the best way to build it, but it was obviously the best way to build it this week. I think he did well with it.
Right. I think it's definitely the best Black-White Warriors deck that we've seen to date.
So, yeah. So obviously we really like Temur and Black-White Warriors. So let's talk about somewhat Rally Forward. So how do each of Rally, Jeskai, Green Ramp, Aggro, Esper, and Amazon fit into this metagame? Are these the best decks? Like when you're preparing for a tournament.
Yes.
So what I would do is I would prepare against the best 10 decks.
Right.
I would find out what the best 10 decks are, and that's what I would prepare against. So I'd actually prepare against all 10 of these, but we don't always have time to do that. We gotta prepare, right. Like some things are more important than others.
Yeah.
And I would probably start with Rally up.
I would agree. Rally is something that playing, you know, just maybe it's definitely could be meta dependent, most likely not.
And we have a lot of rally decks.
Yeah, we see a lot of rally at Oasis. I mean, it's a good strategy. It can be very powerful, but it's very easy to hate against as well. I think with it being so weak against Abzan, I probably would not play it, but it is a good deck.
Do you think it's weak against Abzan?
Oh, absolutely. Anafenza makes that horrible.
Don't they just kill the Anafenza?
I mean, they can try.
How would you stop them?
I mean, there's a lot of ways. Like, so what we mean, wait, what removal do they have?
Murderous Cut.
Okay, so if they don't have Murderous Cut, then what do they do?
I assume that they just kill it.
I mean, they can't.
I need to pull up a rally deck now. So let's see here. Third place. Oh, this guy's playing just the list from the GP that just has the four cuts in the board. Mm-hmm. Then the Valorous Stance. So this version has basically nothing. I mean, you could always just faithful it off the board, right? And then go off.
Right.
I don't know. I
But I mean, another
thing. I haven't heard that it's a bad matchup it has a bad matchup against Abzan, does it?
Maybe it's just play dependent. Every time I'm playing Abzan and I play against Rally, I almost chalk it up to a win immediately. And it's usually the case.
I've never played Rally, so I don't know.
Sure.
I mean, literally never played one game with this deck.
Right.
But I will say that this list, every time I look at it, when I look at this GP list, that's all four ofs and then 24 lands with, you know, four murders cut in the sideboard. This list looks so tuned. I can't blame this guy for just playing the exact same list.
Sure.
I think that all of the decks from Rally Up are decks that you like legitimately are going to play against in an event. I mean, you might not play against all of them. You don't have enough rounds to literally play against all of them every event. But like, you're probably going to play against one of them every event.
Absolutely.
You're going to play against Abzan. You're going to play against Esper. You're going to play against Tark Red. You're going to play against Green Ramp. You might not play against Green Ramp. Like, not. That's what actually why I think Green Ramp is so good.
I mostly see Green Ramp in the PPTQ environment and not so much just, like, at Oasis or, you know, in smaller venues.
So I think that that's one of the reasons that Green Ramp is so good. Because I don't think a lot of people play it in this format. And it does so well.
It's very good. I think part of what puts a lot of people off on it is that it is a very simplistic strategy where I think it would probably benefit control players the most because it is not completely straightforward, but control players are mostly drawn towards the Esper-type decks.
You think that it benefits control players? That could be the reason that Esper had such the jump is because Green Ramp was doing so well.
That's very true.
I don't know. And also, I think that Esper is probably favored against Abzan. If you're, you know, the current iterations of Abzan. So that makes Esper way, way better every week.
Yeah, I mean, typically I like to play Abzan. And whenever
I like to be the Abzan player in that situation, but that doesn't mean that it's favored.
Right, yeah, that's exactly where I was getting to. Esper is, it's so good. It's so very good. And I mean, this late in Standard, people are building their decks because they know Abzan is the best. And they sideboard and they, you know, build their decks accordingly. So I never feel great playing Abzan against Esper.
So Manny, let's backtrack a little bit. So how do you feel about Green Ramp being above Jeskai? I mean, your first episode on this podcast, you said, Jeskai's the best deck in the format. I don't see it changing.
Did I?
Yeah.
Oh, man, you're making me eat those words so hard. I guess it's very cyclical. You opened my eyes to this. So where Jeskai was favored going into the Pro Tour, you know,
a year ago.
Right, yeah. Everyone was like, this is the best deck. It's going to be the best deck. That's how it is. Get used to it. You know, it was favoring play skill quite a bit at that time. And I still think the same is true. Those Jeskai decks have so many lines to play. You have so many different ways of playing it.
It draws really good players to it.
Right.
It's really good players like playing decks like Jeskai. Especially Jeskai Black.
Yeah, your options are insane in those colors. You have so many great cards available to you.
Yeah.
So with that, I think that just because that deck is such a powerhouse, and because it has so much play to it, I think that people just had to, I guess, hate it out of the format. Not out of the format, but hate against it more than more than Jeskai players would like.
Okay. So, but that being said, what do you think of Grand Ramp outperforming it?
I think it shows that it is a better deck. I think Green Ramp has been consistently putting up results. I think Jeskai has been on a downturn, and I think it's probably going to stay that way. And I think Green Ramp is going to continue to do well or do better, and Jeskai is probably going to continue to do worse.
So let's, now that we've covered your thoughts, because I didn't want to get your thoughts, because, I mean, you said on the podcast that you thought that the deck was bad with Matt. I don't know if that podcast made air, but you were like, Green Ramp, this deck is terrible. You know what? It's funny. People have been, and I think I put this in my article about, like, the subtleties of green, that mm-hmm. article that I wrote. Spencer, like, are you so excited that these Eldrazi ramp decks are playable? Like, you could not get me to play one of these Eldrazi ramp decks if your life depended on it.
Right. For me, that's just not how I want to play Magic.
Oh, me either.
I don't want to, you know, oh, look at all these Sylvan Scryings. This is the best hand I could possibly get. That's not how I feel, like, how I want to feel when I sit down to play a match of Magic.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be something like the, like we'll pull up the Temur Eldrazi deck. And this one gets me a little closer, because I get, like, Radiant Flames out of the board.
Sure.
So this deck was four-hanger. This is 13. This is a top 13. We actually had a person post this, I believe, in our Facebook group.
Oh, right.
It was four-hanger back walker, three Drowner of Hope. Also, I think I said this card was playable. I'm glad that I was right. Two Leaffielder, four Rattleclaw Mystic, two Dragon Lord Ataka. This is another reason you might be able to get meat on this version.
Sure.
Three Ulamog, two Kiora.
That's a bad card.
Master of Depths. It is not a bad card. Everyone says that.
I've never seen that card do anything.
Just top 16 in SCG IQ.
Sure.
Four Ugin, two Dig Through Time, three Explosive Vegetation, three Nisa's Pilgrimage, and three Sylvan Scrying.
You know what that Kiora did? It hitched a ride on the back of the other 73 cards. That's what it did. That card sucks. That card is bad.
All right. You will be nice to my blue-green overlord.
Sure.
So this deck gets me a little bit closer. But, like, when I see, like, those blue-green Time Warp decks and, I can't do that. There's nothing that interests me.
It's just not fun.
Like, this deck does, like, it can kill things with things like Ugin and Ataka, and can tap things down so that you can get in big hits with your Drowner of Hope. And, you know, you gotta draw some cards, make sure you get your good stuff with Dig Through Time.
Sure.
That's interesting to me, but, like,
it's definitely more interesting than just, you know, trying to smash an Ulamog by turn 5 or 6.
I think my other problem with these decks is, like, I don't want Hangar Backwalker to be a ramp spell for me. I don't want it to be like, I played Hangar Backwalker, so I had two extra turns to play two extra lands so that I could get my 8 drop. It's like, no, I'd rather just play a Ramp of Growth.
Sure.
And then next turn, I'd like to Radiant Flames you. Man, I give my
and Radiant Flames, I love that card so much. I think it's so good, and I think it's so good in such a wide variety of decks.
That card's seen a lot of sideboard play, a little bit of main deck play. Like, the card's seen a surprising amount of play in Standard. I have cast that card for 1, 2, and 3. I love that card.
Same.
So, but yeah, I'm with you. I don't like the deck, but man, I'm sure it's got a great Abzan matchup.
Yeah, I do. I do like the deck, and I do respect it. I mean, I don't like the deck, but I do respect it. I do think it is a good deck.
Casey got when he was playing Mono Red against this deck.
Did he?
Against
how?
Justin Sloan. He had all the Jotty offshoots.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And Justin was on a mulligan to 5, and Casey got stuck on 1 land.
Oh, my gosh.
And I think Casey was about to, like, flip the table. Luckily, Casey's, you know, a really mellow guy. Dude, let's talk some counterspells. So what do you want? Are you on the Ojutai deck, or are you on the slow, grindy Ugin deck if you're playing Control right now?
Ojutai, baby.
I don't know. There's a large part of me that just wants to play Majoring Network Blue-Black right now.
Playing Counterspell in Standard feels incredible.
Like, yeah,
it feels so good. Like, you can't even do that in Modern.
Go figure. Go figure that would be good. I would be surprised if one day somebody figures out a Dragon's deck for Modern.
It would surprise me. I think that decks like this are very hot, like, in Standard, but then I don't really see a port over to Modern.
We'll see, man. Counterspell's a good Magic card.
It's a really good Magic card.
And changelings are everything, including dragons.
Oh, I see. Yeah, that could make a big difference. And I mean, that's, I guess that's not fair to say, because I mean, when you have things like Spell Pierce and Mana Leak backing you up, like, it makes for incredible gameplay.
Dragon Lord Ojutai has already seen Modern play.
I didn't know that.
That's already happened.
That's a thing. Get used to it, guys.
I'm not saying, I don't know. I mean, if the format gets to the right point, that could happen. I don't know.
Well, I mean, let's...
For me, though, I'm just going to jam. I'm just going to jam Major Network. Like, I love that magical card, and I love Dig Through Time, and I love casting blue spells so freaking much that that's basically all I want to do right now. Today, I played Modern Expanding, and I just played some blue spells. And on the play against Manny, I just boarded all my combo pieces and just played blue control against you.
Yeah, it was a really good time. We had a lot of fun.
I even bought a blue EDH deck because I want to play some blue. So, like, I just...
Oh, update, guys. I won one of those games fair and square. It's beautiful.
You won one of the games we played?
Yeah. It felt good. Straight control. That game we played lasted for, like, at least 30 to 45 minutes.
Are you talking about the game where I had, like, 6 draw steps to kill you?
What? Boo-hoo-hoo. I got it.
Okay. you lost the match.
I did lose the match, but I felt good that I played some solid magic and I took one of those games.
All right. I'm proud of you, Manny. Thank you. I'm glad that you're happy with your subpar results.
In your face, Howland. Get ready for some more.
So I tweeted today. I don't know what it is about playing magic with Manny, but he's so standoffish that it makes me like angry while I play magic with him.
It's because my keyboard is broken at work, so like I can't really type like big long things. So I have to say like shorten it down to just like okay or no or yes.
I mean, you're also kind of standoffish.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm one of the most standoffish people you'll ever meet.
Yeah. So. It's funny because, like, as you want to teach Manny, he's like, no, shut up, you're wrong. And then, like, an hour later, he's like, hey, so what were you talking about there? And you're like, no, you shut up.
I mean, even as little as, like, 2 minutes, I'll be all like, hey, so you were so right about that? Shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, so, anyway, what was it? Oh, yeah, so, like, I'm on the Major Network side. I'm on the, like, I'm gonna grind people out. I, like, if there was a PBTQ tomorrow, I would be on blue-black control of, like, maybe splashing white for some stuff.
I mean, I think it's solid. I think it's very good. I think the amount of different ways you can build your deck playing Esper is great. It's, you can plan for a whole lot of the meta. You can play the way you want to play. You can sideboard the way you want to sideboard. I think the deck is just really flexible, really good, very powerful.
Okay. Well, let's... I'm going to need a... Let's get ready for this. So, Abzan, man. Oh, everyone can hear that.
Yeah, they sure can.
What do you think of these live recordings? Do you like this better?
Yeah, I mean, people can hear your live drinking. It's pretty great.
No, but for real, do you like this?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
What?
Yeah, I could tell. You're having a lot of fun.
It's a good time.
But let's talk about it. So, like... 109 points in 1 month. If I was more diligent, I would have told you the total number of points available. But there was 22 decks, and I wasn't doing that.
No.
But I would assume that it wasn't enough for bannings. It's not enough for bannings. It is twice as good as the next best deck. It's more than twice as good as the next best deck. We had one week where, if you remember, I don't know if that episode went live with Matt, but it was better than... Second, third, and fourth combined.
I do, yeah, I remember. I pointed that out.
So, where's Abzan in your mind right now?
In my mind, it is, without a doubt, the best deck. It's incredible. It's good. It's crushing. It's devastating. It's almost oppressive.
Almost oppressive.
Yeah, see, I mean...
the thing about oppressive is it has to actually keep things out of the format to be oppressive, right? It's not oppressing the field. There was 22 decks with finishes.
Sure, yeah.
So literally it is not oppressive. There is not there it is not hence, keeping anything out of the format.
Hence the word almost. You see how I hedged my bets there?
No, it's not even all
No, but I mean with Abzan doing so well, what I mean by it being almost oppressive is that if you decide to not play Abzan, it almost makes you feel foolish with it being that good. And that's how I feel. So I play Abzan. I'm familiar with it. I'm fairly good with it. I don't love it. I don't like casting Siege Rhino. It hurts me inside a little bit every time I cast 3 Siege Rhinos in one game.
Oh, it doesn't hurt me.
It doesn't feel fair.
It's fun.
It is not fun. That's not the kind of magic I want to play. It's just the kind of magic I'm forced to play.
So I want to travel back in time.
Sure.
And this might be before your time. So, but you can actually relate to this because we actually talked about it on Wednesday. So I think that the magic players in the world are in a stage of denial right now. They're in one of the stages of grief. They're in the denial stage of grief where they're denying how good Abzan is right now.
Okay.
I think even when we're at local tournaments, people just don't see it.
Yeah. No.
They don't see how good Abzan is, and they're denying it. They're it's not that good. It's not that good. It's not that good.
Right.
Because they don't want it to be as good as it was last year.
Sure.
And it's better than it was last year.
Absolutely. It's so much better tuned now.
Yeah. It's had 2 years to, like...
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's a better deck. So in the stage of denial. And soon we'll be in the stage of, anger, where they'll be angry again. And once we get to that stage, anger leads to the dark side, and, that will mean we will start calling for bannings. And Siege Rhino will start to get a little bit of traction. People will ask Wizards to ban Siege Rhino.
I would agree, but there's just not enough time now.
I want to talk about something.
Okay.
I want to talk. I mean, you would say that, except that Jace the Mind Sculptor got banned with 3 months left in Standard.
I mean, the power level of Jace the Mind Sculptor and Siege Rhino is vastly different, though.
I mean, I agree. I'm just saying, like... Sure. But I want to talk about, the Wizards is smart. They do things for a reason. Mm-hmm. And we don't always recognize that reason. And, I want to talk about Thragtusk, the card that everyone called for the banning of. Mandy, you got the chance to play with green-red human aggro in Modern the last couple days.
Yes.
That was, you were basically playing a Standard deck.
Right.
I mean, it was all Return to Ravnica cards and Tarmogoyf.
Just about, yeah.
Like, what else is in there? I mean, Lightning Bolt, obviously.
Right, those, yeah.
So, I mean, obviously that's replaceable with another card that they could have had in that format.
Atarka's Command, also.
Atarka's Command, which could be replaced with something like Mayor of Everbrook.
Sure.
Which they did. They did play that. What did you think, man?
It was insane. Like, it felt so good.
Only needed two mana to operate.
Yeah.
You were super fast.
I ran 18 lands in the main board. It felt crazy
You were playing Flint Hoof Boar.
Yeah, Flint Hoof Boar.
Yeah. So I want people to realize that Manny was literally playing a Standard deck in Modern and crushing people. And this deck was actually legal in Standard and saw almost no play. I mean, it was a fringe deck. And that happened because of Thragtusk, where instead, Thragtusk kept an oppressive deck out of the format. It didn't even keep it out. It still saw play. People still played the deck. But Thragtusk did something where it was like, all right, so this deck, you can't be this.
You can't be doing this.
You can't do this to the format. And, luckily they printed, tons of cards that eventually, the other thing was, I don't know that was on purpose, because obviously Thragtusk was probably meant to stop things like Snapcaster Vapor Snag.
Sure.
Because if you Vapor Snag, they're Thragtusk.
Right, it seemed, Value City.
Yeah. So, but that could have been an attack on. They could have known all along that, red aggressive decks would have been oppressive without Thragtusk. Zombie decks would have been oppressive without Thragtusk. I mean, can you imagine playing against black-red zombies back in the day, or black-blue zombies without Thragtusk? It would have been terrible. And we don't know what Siege Rhino is actually doing for this format. We don't know what Mantis Rider is doing for this format. It could be that Siege Rhino has 5 toughness, specifically so that Savage Knuckleblade is not the end-all be-all in this format.
Right. Very true. And I mean, those are very valid points, and those are things we may not want to see because we are all so sick of seeing Siege Rhinos and Abzan Charms, but that's a very, very valid point.
Yeah. Who knows? I mean, there's so much that goes into, creating a game that calling for the banning of something that's it's doing really well. It's twice as good as the next deck, but I just want to weather the storm before it starts.
Sure, and the thing about Abzan is that any deck playing against it still has a fair chance. There's not, you don't just sit down with an Abzan player and go, oh, I lost.
What do you say that about Jund 2? What happened to my Bloodbraid Elves?
Oh, that's gross. That once somebody explained to me that Legacy Jund was a standard deck, I like could not believe it. I was like, that's the most disgusting thing I've ever heard.
That's not true. There was like one card in the Legacy deck that was in standard, other than Inquisition. So there was two.
That's what Matt told me. This is straight from Matt's mouth.
It was a Modern deck that took over Modern and then got banned in standard. Anyway, Matt Kling. That Matt Kling says words.
Sure. He probably did say Modern. I'm sure I'm mistaken.
It was a straight port from Modern.
Okay,
I see. They just added Punishing Fire.
Yeah, see, that's disgusting. You shouldn't be able to do things like that in Modern.
Well, let's go to... So, I actually, like, don't play Abzan, which is weird. A lot of people...
It seems like it. You usually are on board with playing the best deck.
Yeah, and also it's, like, a green deck with, like, green creatures and, like, good removal spells and, like, divinations with Abzan Charm. I mean, you'd think I'd be all... To be fair, I do own the deck on Modo. That's, like, sure. The only deck that I own on Modo. It's okay. All I play on Modo. But, I mean, I also have been playing, like... So, this is not true. I shouldn't say this. I have not yet played Abzan in this format in a competitive environment.
I see.
That being said, I also haven't played a PBTQ in...
A while.
4 months? 3 months?
Yeah.
So... That could change.
Well, I think maybe part of it is when you're playing Abzan, it doesn't necessarily feel like a green deck, right?
It feels like the kind of green deck I like to play.
I mean, it feels like green plus plus. Like, there's so much more added in. Yeah. Like, you're able to destroy things, you're able to draw cards, you're able to bring cards back from your graveyard. Like, it's
kind of like my Teemer deck?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, so the difference is that the reason I haven't played it is because I have Teemer, which has counter spells in it.
Uh-huh.
So, and I like that better. But I think that if, like, Savage Knuckleblade and, like, Disdainful Stroke and,
You mean Stubborn Denial?
That was the other one. Stubborn Denial. If those cards didn't exist, I'd probably be on the Seedrainer decks. Sure. Like, if I were to play a tournament tomorrow, I could see myself, like, on the Abzan Red deck that you saw me playing mm-hmm. for a little while there.
Oh, yeah. That did seem fun.
Yeah. So, like, I could definitely see myself casting Seedrainer, and I think that it's good. The thing is that... I think this is a healthy format still. Like 22 decks scored points in the last month.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And you see decks that are up and coming, like Teemer and Black White, or Teemer Black and Black White Warriors, where, you know, if this format was really that oppressive and shutting things out, then you wouldn't see these kind of like fringe decks making a name for themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree. Let's go to the one that you wanted to talk about really early on. You were just like, gung-ho on talking about this. Dude, Red Aggro would have been number one on the power rankings this week.
Yeah, what's going on? Tell me why. Explain.
Dude, people just forgot.
They forgot what it's like to
get forgot that it won the Battle first. Rage. They forgot that it won the first tournament of the year, of the season. And they're like, oh, God, nobody plays this anymore. And now it's like, oh, shoot. If somebody Teemer Battle Rages me, I die.
Yeah, that's something you remember real quick.
Yeah, so, I don't know.
It's a sweet combo deck. It's so good. It's so good.
I mean, it's almost, like, no different. I mean, we'll look at just the one that took the top 16 this week.
Yeah.
Well, we actually might have a top 8 if we go back. I think we might have a top 8. Let's take a look here. We have a top 8 from just this weekend. It's, you know, two Goblin Hailcutter, 4 Abbot, 1 Lightning Berserker, 4 Monastery Swift Spear, 3 Zergo, 4 Targets Command, 3 Become Immense, 4 Fire Impulse. That's a lot of Fire Impulse. 3 Teemer Battle Rage, 4 Titan Strength, 4 Wild Slash, 4 Dragon Fodder. So, just a ton of, like, I mean, this deck hasn't changed much, man.
No, I swear, if you threw Legion Loyalist in there, you'd have a Modern deck. It's good.
I don't know about that. I don't know that I would play that in this deck.
Really? Give everything first strike and trample?
Yeah, I wouldn't play that in this deck.
Oh, all right.
I mean, here's the thing, is that I think this deck is great, mm-hmm. but I think that we're like a lightning strike away from this deck not existing.
Yeah.
We're like a lightning strike away from like just regular Ataka Red existing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Wild Slash is not something that's super popular right now in a lot of decks. Like, you're not seeing a lot of...
No. I'm saying, like, can you just, like... Mono-red slashing a Tarkus Command. Just a Tarkus Command, maybe one Become Immense. Like, the same deck that won Pro Tour Dragons.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we might be lightning strike away from the deck that won Pro Tour Vancouver, too.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
Like, we're just a burn spell away from, like, actual mono red existing.
Right.
We just don't have those.
No.
There's actually just no burn spells in the format. It's part of the reason that things like Mantis Rider are so good.
Right.
But, that being said, there's a legitimate combo deck that was forgotten about, and it's just on the rise.
Yeah. I mean, the combo didn't stop being as good.
I mean, it didn't stop existing, either.
Right.
I mean... The combo is super sensitive, right? Because when people are prepared for it, it's a 3-for-1 for you.
Right. It's if they can stop you, it's very devastating. It almost stops you in your tracks.
I'm a pretty big fan, dude. This is the next deck I'm buying on Moto. I'm gonna buy the rest of the deck. I already have a lot of the cards. Like
Tucker Red?
Yeah.
All right. It seems like a good investment. It's very good.
Yeah, like, I just want... I mean, like, I already own a lot... Like I said, I already own a lot of the cards, and that's just kind of, like, this is the kind of deck that I like to play, like, on Modo quite a bit. When I'm playing Modo, I like to try and play decks that I'm not playing a ton of. I don't know why people forget. Like, Mono Red just does this thing where, like, rides this wave.
Right.
It's up and down in formats, and it's like...
Very much like Burn in Modern.
Yeah, and it's... And for me, I live by, like, the Willie Edel rule, where one of my rules is always beat Mono Red. So, like, I don't lose to this deck.
No, I mean...
But people do.
Yeah, it's... I mean, going into any tournament, that has to be one of the things that is most forefront in your thought.
So...
Because, I mean, you don't want to have your first, or even worse, your second loss of a tourney be to Mono Red.
And then that guy not to bait, because that's, like, terrible for your breakers.
Exactly.
So that's kind of it on, like, Mono Red. Or Tarka Red. I think that the thing that I want to throw in there is, like, being prepared for Mono Red, I don't think is ever a problem when you're playing, like, the kind of decks that I want to play. Playing mid-range decks or things, or even control decks, like, I feel like you have to, like, you have to be ready for them. I'm not going to name this player. There's a player that's very popular for playing Esper control. That is always like, oh, I give up my Mono Red matchup. And I feel like he never top 8s anymore. He used to top 8 a lot of tournaments. And he basically almost never does anymore. He's like, oh, yeah, I got really unlucky, like, playing against Mono Red. And I'm like, man, dude, if you, like, just didn't give up your Mono Red matchup every single tournament, you might do a lot better.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like you're just allowing way too much variance into a game that already has so much.
That's my thoughts also, is, like, and that might be why I lean so close to the mid-range decks that are, like, all these 50-50 decks.
Mm-hmm.
That, like... I just need to, like, feel like I can outplay my opponent and then, like, have good matchups against the good decks.
Right.
That I put myself in those positions. So it can be kind of hard for me to feel like those kind of decisions are the right ones.
Absolutely. I mean, utilize your strengths in a tournament and don't give anything away that you don't have to.
Yeah. You have any final thoughts on this?
Yeah. Going back to what you were saying about wanting to play a Tarka Red on Modo, I think that's really great. I think it's a healthy habit to have to want to play decks, on Modo or wherever, that you don't normally want to play. Because, I mean, Teemer is what you're about. You might as well have it tattooed, like, right above your butt. But, yeah, I mean, you're married to it. It's yours. It's your best friend. It's your girlfriend. It's your boyfriend. Whatever. But with the way you want to play a Tarka Red on Modo, I think that, you know, it's healthy to still get your mind out of, you know, the certain box of how you are used to playing, how you like to play, and further how you play Magic as a whole.
You know, I think that a lot of players don't realize the benefit they get from playing the other side. You know, playing the Mono Black Devotions or the Abzan, they're like, I gotta beat this deck. And they don't realize what they're missing by trying the deck, seeing, like, how the deck works, how the deck takes, what it doesn't like, so they can learn how to beat it. So
yeah, I feel like when you only play one side of a match, you miss out on so much. Because, I mean, so I was playing against Austin Goltz, right, that last Wednesday. And, you know, I just assumed that he had everything in hand. It's been quite a while since I played Control, like the RTR block, Blue White, Sphinx's Rift. So anyway, I just assumed that he had everything, and I played much too cautiously. I didn't apply pressure fast enough, so I made it a point to jam a whole ton of control. I've played so much control the last few days, and you know what? A lot of times you just don't have a verdict, or you don't have, you know, Wrath of God, And if your opponent doesn't play around it and they play through it, you know, wanting to put you on a clock, they will get you.
Yeah, I think that that we could probably do a very specific training round than playing around Wraths. But we could get Casey on for that one, too.
Anyway, play both sides of the fence.
Yeah, no, like, I think that it's a great point. I think that, like, understanding where you need to be in a format and, like, when you play against Abzan, or when you're playing Abzan, what is the biggest thing that you're worried about?
The biggest thing? Ugin.
You're worried about Ugin?
Yeah.
So if you wanted to beat it, what would you do?
Get under it.
No. If you wanted to beat Abzan.
Oh, I see. If you're wanting to beat Abzan, jam it. Jam that Ugin hard.
Yeah, so you would just play a deck with Ugin in it.
Right.
Okay. Why?
I mean, there's not like nothing Abzan can do to be a resolved Ugin.
Exactly. So what you've learned from playing Abzan is Abzan's weakness. Right. You know, like, oh man, if this guy plays an Ugin, I lose. Oh man, if this guy plays an Ugin, I lose. So you learn those things. And that's something that I think people forget about, and they don't realize what they're doing sometimes against things like Honor Red.
Right. And I mean, it's the same thing in any matchup like Rally, right? If you're wasting your removal spells on a Siege Rhino and not an Anafenza next turn, you're making a really big mistake.
Absolutely. All right, well, let's talk about us. So what would you play and why right now?
Abzan. 100% Abzan. I think the deck is very good. I've been playing it for a long time. I am bored to death of it and am excited for it to rotate. But until then, I will be carrying its banners begrudgingly.
I'm on blue-black control, I think.
I think you should. The deck, I love control. It's so fun.
Yeah, I think I would play blue-black control, or I might play, like, teamer black. But definitely think I'm on. I want to be playing, like you said, Ugin, Majoring Network, Dig Through Time.
And yeah, I mean, Majoring Network is such a powerful card. It's so good.
What if you weren't on Abzan, what do you want to try? What do you want to try from this top 10?
Oh my gosh, you're like asking me a question I've never even thought about. You're bringing all my walls down. I think I would probably try Jeskai Black.
Okay.
With it, knowing that it is on the decline and knowing that it's not one of what I would consider the very best decks, I would still play it. Because of access to really fun cards like Crackling Doom and Jace Friend's Prodigy, I think that is a great time. And Ojutai's Command is just awesome, fun time.
If I were to try something right now, it would be one of two things. Black-White Warriors. Oh my gosh, no green, no blue Spencer. Oh my gosh, you're playing a white deck?
Yeah, I can't even believe it. I don't.
No red cards? Your two least favorite colors, you're going to play that deck? I would try that deck. And then I would love to try, I just had it on the top of my head, but you got me all distracted by it. What was it? Jeskai Tokens.
Oh, yeah.
I've actually never...
Oh, my gosh. That would be such a good time. That would be so fun.
Yeah, I think that that's something I might actually just do at the next Wednesday tournament. I might actually just, like, borrow the deck from Oasis and do it.
I might do it with you. That seems like a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'll come up with a list. Let's do it.
Okay.
Yeah, let's do it.
I want it heavy on Secure the Wastes.
Yeah, we'll play two.
Three? Four?
Probably not that many.
Okay.
But yeah, I want to try Jeskai Tokens in this format. I don't think that Abzan has the right answers for you. And I like that. Like, they don't have Bioblight. They don't have Languish. Like, they don't have the things you're worried about.
Right.
They don't even have, like, Dromoka's Command. I mean, they have one or two, so...
Abzan?
Yeah.
Most Abzan lists play, like, four.
Are they
playing? Yeah, four main board.
Are they playing that many?
Usually, I think. Or the last list I played, I think, had three, maybe? But
let's take a look. So they're playing four.
Yeah, four.
Yeah. I'm wrong. I still want to play it.
Yeah. I mean, you can still respond to them making you sack it, which is very good. Like, you will get some value out of it.
Well, not even that, but, like, once again, like, you just put your, you know, you just exile their Warden of the First Tree or their Heir of the Wilds, you know, with your,
Silk wraps?
With your silk wraps. And it's like, all right, well, good luck. Dromoko's commanding me for the rest of the game.
Right.
And, I mean, some of them are still playing Hangerback Walker. And if you just... Oh, if you silk wrap your Hangerback Walker, so good, it's like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, the very first time that happened to me, I was just like, okay, let me think this out, Manny. Use your noodle. And I was like, okay, make him Dromoka's command. And then you get back your worthless nothing. And I was like, oh, that's probably not the best thing to do right now.
Use your noodle. That's a great training ground. Using your noodle. Anyway. So yeah, that's kind of where I'm at in like trying things out. I would love to like find a deck that Woodland Wanderer is good in, though.
I mean, I think it's showing a lot of promise in Team Red Black. I really think that's the ticket.
Yeah, it could be. It could be. It's hard for me to move away from Phoenix, man.
I know. You love that card. And I mean, it's closed a lot of games out for you. It's very resilient. It offers a lot of value. I understand. I think the idea of a 6/6 with vigilance is like, you're way
like,
better.
Yeah, because like the idea of somebody being like, murderous cut, and I'm like, ah, stupid.
Right.
6/6. I could have had a Phoenix here.
I could have a 2/2 right now.
And then I could flip it and deal them 6, and it's the worst.
Right.
So, I have very strong opinions. yeah, so do our rankings change? Did these power rankings change what you wanted to try, what you wanted to play, what you wanted to do in this format?
No.
So this format, does it look the way you expected?
No, actually. I mean, Esper coming in at second actually did catch me by surprise a little bit. I mean, I feel like it shouldn't have. I should have seen it coming. Not seen it coming, but I'm upset that I'm surprised by it because Esper, the mana is so good and control is always, you know, a fun, good, viable option. And the cards are good right now, like we talked about. You get to play Counterspell right now, which is insane. I mean, the control cards are there. It's good. It's definitely something that should be there.
You know what's fun? I bet if we separated the two decks, I think that Esper Dragons and Esper Control would still both make the top 10. Mm-hmm. So that, but I think that they're so close, so that's why I can, I mean, Matt Killeen would tell me that I shouldn't do that, that we should, that Teemer and Warrior should fall off and the deck should be separate.
Sure.
Also not as interesting, because we got to talk about more decks. But, and speeder decks, but Black Heart Warriors deck is sweet.
And what does he know?
Yeah, Matt Klein. Good for nothing. but yeah, like, I think that that deck is a surprise, and I think that Dragons was not very good at the beginning of this format.
It was awful.
It was another good environment for the format.
Yeah, it was really bad.
Quentin Pierce really wanted to play that at the Pro Tour, could not find a way to build it correctly.
Well, I mean, I think that's what happens at the beginning of every format with a control deck. The meta needs to establish itself before it can decide what it's going to do.
Oh, sure, absolutely. I mean, And there's just so much that has to go into, like, building one of these decks. Like, you know, Clash of Wills turned out to be great in the format. I mean, and I feel like what's happened is that you had to wait until Ultimate Price was good enough to play again.
Right.
And, like, because playing that 3-mana instant that exiles a creature with power 3 or greater just wasn't...
Ugh, yeah.
It wasn't cutting it. They had to wait until Ultimate Price could, like, be a card again. I mean, these decks are playing, like, 3 Scatter the Winds, 2 Clash of Wills. Like, very right. Different. This deck is very controlling. You know, only playing 4 Ojitai's and two Silumbar Drifting Deaths. Yeah, or I mean, some of them are even playing no Silumbar Drifting Deaths and they're playing Dragonlord Silumbars.
Right, and I mean, these decks definitely know what they want to do. I mean, they're aggressively jamming the 4 Foul Tongues like it's casual.
Yeah, I mean, 2 Utter Ends, things like that. Mm-hmm. There's three Utter Ends on this one.
Yeah.
So it's all dependent. Like, the format changes. This deck plays 27 lands compared to, like, the 26 and 25 that some of the decks were doing last year.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about, and 3 dig through times too. Some of them are playing 3 dig through times. It's all about, like, finding the right mixture of cards. So, but yeah, I, in all honesty, I love this standard format. I don't know why people are already sick of it. I think it's expensive.
It is pretty. I mean, as far as Obzon, Esper, those are fairly expensive. Atarka's not too bad.
I mean, I still don't want to track his commands because they're too expensive for me, man.
You can borrow mine.
Okay.
Not on Moto. In paper. Obviously.
Well, I mean, the deck's not too expensive on Moto. It's... There's... The format is expensive. But that being said, it's really fun.
It is really fun.
You get to do a lot of different things because of the mana and things like that. So I've enjoyed the last month of Standard. I've played more Standard in the last month because I've been playing Wednesday Night Magics. Been playing with Manny. Been playing with Casey. Soon I'll be playing Legacy every week with Matt. Stay tuned for that.
Ooh, that'll be a good time.
Probably streaming it.
Ooh.
Live. Oh, yeah.
And another thing is that right now we're so spoiled with this mana, and we're actually really going to miss it when it's gone.
Or not.
What?
So we'll miss it because we'll be used to it, but we won't miss it because, like, everybody hates it.
What do you... How... Who hates it?
So it's this stupid thing that people do where it's like, grumble, 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 I want there to be fetch lands, grumble, 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 fetch lands are too expensive, print fetch lands in Standard so that they're cheaper for my modern deck, grumble, 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 modern lands, Standard lands are too expensive because there's a bunch of fetch lands, grumble, grumble, grumble. It's like, wait, what did you think was going to happen when they printed $20, like $40 lands in Standard? Well, they were going to become $20,
right,
and you're going to have to pay $20 for your stupid lands.
And I mean, and let's be real, there was a really good stretch of time where they were like $14 and $15 a piece. They were pretty affordable for a time.
Yeah. I mean, what do you want them to do? The thing is that people want Wizards to literally print cards until they're out of existence.
Right.
And you know what? One day it might be correct for Wizards to say, you know what, forget collectors. We don't care about the value of your cards. We're printing... You're such a small subset of the people we're marketing to.
Uh-huh.
We're just going to print this stuff all the time. Who knows? That could happen one day.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think the Standard format's great.
I agree. I really like it. I really like it a lot.
All right, well, that's it for the power rankings. Any final thoughts from you?
Nope. Just excited to continue to play Magic, be on the podcast, get in touch with the listeners, play Cockatrice with some of you guys. I really love doing that a lot. I love playing Magic.
All right. I love the Standard format. Really excited. We'll talk about some Modern and Legacy next week. So, all right. Don't forget, you can join the clan on MTGO. We have an MTGO clan. You know, it's around 25 people right now. You can message me whenever I'm on, Spencer13H. Or no, Spencer13Dev. So Spencer13DEV. Or you can message Quentin at Earthstripe. That's URTHSTRYPE. And what?
This is funny that you had to write it down.
I always get it wrong on the podcast.
Every time. You're like, URHEPSLY.
QWZABCD.
You're like, how do you spell Stripe?
It's spelled weird. Yeah,
I know.
It's a weird spelling. But yeah, you can message Quentin. He has access to my account. I have access to his. Like, we can both add you to the podcast, or to the clan, so. And Quentin's on a lot, so. But yeah, so that's it for the clan. Don't forget, you can check out the sponsor of this podcast, Oasis Games, at OasisGamesSLC.com, OasisCCG.com, and MTGOasis.com.
Best place on earth.
Yeah, it was. It was a pretty good place at one point. You know, yesterday.
Sure.
Probably tomorrow.
Probably today, too. We're just not there.
It's true. I'm not there today. The best way to support this podcast, though, if you have the means to do so, you can become a patron of the podcast by going to our Patreon page at patreon.com/ccmtg. There's going to be awesome benefits. You know, yeah. Manny's a pretty big fan of the Patreon. He wants to make it awesome for you guys.
Yeah. So with going forward with that card of the week, I'm actually I'm planning on taking the credit that Oasis gives me and putting it back in to reward you guys. That's going to where the card of the week is going to come from. Like, I love you guys. You support us. I want to give you guys something back.
Yeah. So, you know, Manny is giving up his magic money for you guys. So give your magic money to him. I don't know.
Pretty good.
But no, it's a great way to support the cast. Obviously you don't have to, we are keeping this podcast free forever. It will always be that way. And it's because we really do just want to make people better at Magic. You know, as upset as I get playing Magic with Manny because he's infuriating and angry to play against, and he's just like
boneheaded
knucklehead that I like don't know that I've ever been so upset playing against anyone on characters in my entire life.
Yeah, I can see you going on tilt like at home when I play you.
And I don't do that against like almost anyone else. But at the same time, like, I want to make Manny better at Magic. Manny wants to get better at Magic, and he wants to do that with you guys.
And I want to make Spencer better at Magic too.
That hasn't happened yet.
He needs my help.
But That being said, like, we want to do that with you guys, and we want you guys to improve. So the podcast will always stay free, but don't forget you can donate, you know, starting at $1 a month all the way up to $1 million. More than that, I guess. I don't know what Patreon's maximum is.
I mean, probably unlimited, I would assume.
Yeah, if you want to donate $1 trillion to us, if you know, that doesn't exist. Like, no one has that much money, but...
Not yet.
But if that's something you're interested in, like, check it out, patreon.com/ccmtg. Where can people find you, Manny?
People can find me on Twitter. My handle there is ENTRPNR, fresh. Let's see.
How's that spelled?
I don't remember. You caught me, man. I couldn't remember this week. It is ENTRPNRFRESH.
It's because you spell it different on your handle than you do on your name.
Yeah, I do. I feel like it gives me a little bit of, like, a little style.
You know what is really easy for our listeners? If you just changed your name to Manny Merez on Twitter.
I mean, what the listeners don't want, they don't always get, right?
That didn't make any sense. The listeners don't want, they don't always get.
What they want is where I was going with that, but I fumbled.
Dropped the ball on the 1 yard line there, man.
Dude.
Did you know that you could have easily made the playoffs in our fantasy football league? You did not adjust your lineup one time. You had, like, the second best team in the entire league.
Yeah, I know. I'm the best. I'm the best at stuff I don't even have to try at.
You're not going to make the playoffs now.
Well, I could have if I wanted to. That's the moral of the story.
Okay. Whatever.
I'm a champion.
You can find me on Twitter at Spencer13H. You can find me on Facebook at Spencer Stephen Howland or on the Constructive Criticism Facebook group. Just type in Constructive Criticism Facebook group in the search bar in Facebook and you'll find it. You can find the podcast at CCMTG on Twitter. Constructive Criticism on Facebook. You can like us, you know, share us with your friends. We think we're pretty great. You know, we're pretty humble about that.
Oh, I mean, you are.
I think we're a good podcast.
Yeah, I'd agree.
I think that there's always things that we can do to improve, but I think we're pretty good. You can also find the podcast every week on OasisGamesLLC.com, ConstructedCriticism.com, and MTGCast.com. You know, with that being said, like, don't ever hesitate to leave a comment in the comment section on the podcast. If you leave a comment on the website, it'll actually share it on Facebook, helping us by sharing that with your friends and starting conversations. So. Let's go to shout-outs, man. You have any shout-outs this week, Manny?
Yeah, shout-out. Jacob Hansen. He is the best coworker. He's the coolest dude. He always works, like, 100 times harder than me. He's always keeping me focused. Dude's really great at his job. He's one of the backbones of Oasis Games. He's awesome. Thank you.
All right. So I have a shout-out to Manny's girlfriend, Nicole. She's actually been sitting here in this room with us for now about an hour and a half and hasn't made a peep.
Let's keep it that way.
But yeah, shout out to her. That's pretty awesome that, like, she, like, came over after your guys' doctor's appointment. And I don't know if we said this on the podcast, but shout out to you and her. You're going to be a daddy.
I am going to be a dad. It's going to be good.
Yeah. So shout out to you guys. And shout out to my wife. She's in Disneyland right now. She just texted me that she got me a present at Star Wars, you know, at Tomorrowland at the Star Wars shop. So, you know how I feel about Star Wars, Manny.
Yeah, you love it. Love it so much.
I love it more than magic.
That can't be true.
Oh, a lot more.
So, if you had a choice between
If they were like, we're going to either burn down Wizards of the Coast, or Lucasfilms will never produce another movie, and burn down Wizards of the Coast.
Even if you still had the movies that exist?
Yes.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
Or if there was never any future Star Wars content ever again, I would be really upset.
Dude, I would pick magic over my own cousins.
I would also pick magic over my own cousins. Okay. That's not... We're talking... Now you're talking about, do I like skinning my knee or eating an apple? Like, sure. Obviously, I pick eating an apple.
All right. Okay.
It's not the same thing.
Okay.
But yeah, shout out to her. I don't know what she got me, but go me.
Probably a lightsaber.
I hope it's a lightsaber.
I'm going to go buy one now because I'm so jealous.
So I actually had, I think it was my roommate Gavin, bought me like a really like a $40 lightsaber, like the kind that like,
yeah,
is like
they made a glass size, yeah, those are
fiberglass.
Those are super nice.
And this girl, well, they were renamed nameless.
You just messed it up again.
I know. No, I... What did I say? Remain nameless. Thank you. She took my lightsaber and just started whacking the wall with it, and the light stopped coming up halfway up.
I would have killed her.
I was so upset.
You kicked...
I was so mad. And, like, it was, like, one of the best presents anyone has ever gotten me.
Yeah.
It was, like, the Darth Vader, like, fiberglass lightsaber.
Yeah, that's sweet.
Yeah, I was so mad. Yeah, you see? So
yeah,
you love Star Wars,
I'm like,
too.
I'm upset for you. I like Star Wars. I love Star Wars. I'm just not as, like, diehard about it as you are.
Dude, do you know... Oh, dude, we might not be able to do Power Rankings next week. We'll have to look at it, because we're doing Jedi Mind Tricks on Kickstarter Criticism and LTO at the same time.
The rap
so December,
band is
December
on the
14th
show?
Is Jedi Mind Tricks. We're doing Jedi Mind Tricks in celebration for Star Wars coming out.
I don't know what that is.
We're going to talk about Jedi Mind Tricks and magic.
Oh, okay. I see.
Yeah. We'll probably have Casey do that one.
Oh, okay. Cool.
I'll swindle him into it. I'll Jedi Mind Trick
him
into it.
You should get mad, too. I Jedi Mind Tricked him once really hard. It was so sweet. Yeah, I left up Bio Blight mana once with like four lands in hand, and he was like, oh, I guess I shouldn't make this attack. It was very good.
Alright. The Rubbins. Yeah. Shout out to Nicole, shout out to Star Wars, shout out to my wife. It's been a good episode. Hashtag would that be good. Let's wrap up this podcast in style, man. So starting off with Zach, who says, enjoy the crisp quality of live recording. One criticism, you always sign off before doing hashtag with the good. We didn't do that this week. I didn't say goodbye to everybody.
Oh, no.
No, I didn't do it. That was his criticism.
Oh. Okay.
I hope I didn't. And then sign off again. So we didn't say goodbye this week. We're doing it at the end. So we took your criticism back. Also, I'm glad they're enjoying this live recording. I'm also enjoying it.
Me too.
I miss doing it this way.
I feel like the rapport is just more organic.
I mean, yeah, you talk a lot, but... But next up we have Manny says, I was playing Abzan in Modern today and Sphinx's Rev... Oh, no, I was playing against Abzan in Modern and Sphinx's Rev for 6 and my opponent conceded, just like RTR. And the woman putting her hands up in the air like, whoop, whoop. And he says, hashtag, would that be good?
It felt amazing. It felt so good.
Didn't I beat you when you cast a Sphinx's Rev for 5 today?
Yeah, but that's because I quit early.
Brainstorming an article for a part-time player who has Pro Tour dreams but can't grind and bounce qualifiers weekly. Hashtag would that be good? I think that's a great idea. I think that more people should write Magic content. I think that, Jason, if you have aspirations to go into the Pro Tour, I know that Matt, who's done LTO with me before, he is married. He talks to his wife about Magic a lot and like his goals in Magic. And I think that if more people like you and him wrote Magic articles for that crowd, I don't think that crowd is like... That crowd doesn't get enough attention. The people who like have obligations and are literally part-time players.
Yeah, I think that covers the majority of us. The majority of players are guys that are exactly like you. I mean, I can't make it to a PPTQ every single weekend. Like, I can when I can, I do what I can, I play when I can, but a lot of other things take precedent.
I would say that you play way more PPTQs than I do.
Yeah.
I probably way more PPTQs than these guys do.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know how often everybody plays.
Not as often as you. You play a lot of PPTQs.
Let's take a census on Twitter.
We could.
I know.
This is something we can make happen. But yeah, I think that Manny and I play more Magic than most people. I think that Matt played more Magic than anybody.
Probably only like beaten by Owen Turnwald.
Yeah, and like Quentin also plays like exorbitant amount of Magic, and Casey plays close to what we played. So like those two play way more Magic, and then we still play a lot of Magic. Like you and I play Magic probably every other week together, and then every Wednesday.
Yeah. And then, like, Cockatrice in between.
Yeah. So I was including... That was what I was talking about, was the Cockatrice. But, like...
Oh, sure.
Not everybody gets to play that much Magic.
Sure.
And, like, I'm lucky, and you're lucky that we can both play Magic at work sometimes.
Yeah. That's really great. Don't let my employers hear that, guys.
But, yeah. You podcasted at work.
I did podcast at work. Life is good when you're the boss.
but there's a target market, I think, out there for people like you and Matt who have wives or who have jobs that really inhibit on the time that you could be playing Magic and You could help the community a lot if you guys would write articles and, like, share what you've done to improve. And really, I mean, think about it this way. If this podcast is helping you improve, imagine what you could do by writing articles. And that's what this is about. This is about hashtag always improving. So, redirecting the Wikipedia entry for Soylent Green to Wikipedia entry for people. Hashtag spoilers. I don't know what this is.
Oh, so Soylent Green, I believe, was like a reference from an old movie where they would take the old and turn them into food.
So we did a we did a survey that said the second best co-host of all time on Constructive Criticism is, and then we gave the options of Casey, Manny, Quentin, and Matt. And Casey won with 39% of the vote. Quentin got 28, Matt got 33, and you got 0.
I got 0.
And both and Manny, Quentin, and Matt all said Manny must just be the best host of all time.
Thank you, guys.
He got 0%.
So much for the votes. It means so much to me.
So Manny says, at CCMTG, at Spencer3DNH, I guess this means I'm the best. Thanks, guys. Hashtag would that be good. I got an email asking me, like, hey, you did this. So how would you rank the host of Constructive Criticism? So should I do it?
No. You should take that to your grave.
I have a ranking.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. You should take that to your grave.
Do you want to know where you rank?
No.
Okay. What do you want me to, do you want to know where one of them ranks?
You know what? You can rank the other three. How about that?
I will say that I think Matt Kling is the second best co-host of Constructive Criticism all the time.
Okay.
And that is all I will say.
Oh, that leaves nothing. That tells us nothing.
It's actually, the joke actually comes from, I believe, Rich Hagon asked who gave the second best sign-off all time on Limited Resources, because he once gave a sign-off.
Yeah.
So he was like, who gave the second best sign-off ever? And so it was a funny question. But yeah, I would say that Matt Kling is the second best co-host. When he wants to be. I think Matt might is, on the same token, Matt is also the worst co-host. The worst of anyone I've ever done a podcast with at times. So he's very dependent. So maybe he doesn't deserve that spot.
So the rankings are shifting as you talk about them.
Yeah. Maybe.
Okay.
The clock's still out on you, Manny Moraes. Found this hashtag TNMT shirt at Kohl's on clearance for $2.50. Hashtag would be good. So I don't love Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, but I can see why people would love it.
So, I am not a fan of TNMT either, but if you guys saw this shirt, yeah, this is like the sickest buy for $2.50 I've ever seen. It's so cool. They're like surfing on the front, the ninjas, the turtle ninjas, and then Shredder and his foot soldiers are surfing on the back of it. It's a party.
Does anyone know next year's GP promo at Spencer3DNH at The Rock? If The Rock had an answer to this question, this would have won all tweets, Paul. You would have won Twitter.
Yeah, I would lose my mind.
If The Rock had responded to this and said, you know, it's nourishing troll, I'd have been like, oh, well. I believe The Rock and Paul just co-MVP Twitter. They just tag-team Twitter.
Right, yeah. Dwayne The Rock Johnson is an American icon.
He's also, I believe, like a 17-time tag team champion in the WWF.
I mean, like, what does that mean, though?
With what is he called? The guy with the mask. He was his teammate.
The Undertaker?
Yes.
Cool.
It's literally the only WWF I watched. My WWF knowledge has been completely laid out on the table here.
Oh, man. Then you're missing out, because Stone Cold Steve Austin was a man.
You should talk to Casey about this. He is a huge WWE fan.
Cool.
Timur would make the power rankings for CCMTG if we were doing a normal episode instead of mega rankings. Hashtag, would that be good?
Yes.
Would it?
Yeah. I mean, I still think it's not very good, but sure, it'd be fine. Why play Timur when you can play Timur Black? Duh.
So, all right. That's it, man. You have anything to say before we go?
No. Thank you guys so much for listening. I love talking to you. You guys are the best.
Don't forget that you can join the conversation with hashtag would that be good every week by just making a tweet with hashtag would that be good. We'll talk about it at the end of the podcast. Don't forget that you can always say something mean to Manny on Twitter to receive 25-cent store credit at Oasis Games.
I'll do it. I'll honor that.
Just swear at him or something. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you all next week.
Have a good night.
Magic, magic, magic.